to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back on Empowered by the Spirit with some incredibly special guests. I'd like to introduce Brian Wolf, a good friend of mine who has been part of an employment initiative ministry at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton for many, many years. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks, Steve.
And his very close friend, who has been amazing in this ministry, Virginia Sullivan, also a member of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Welcome, Virginia.
Thank you.
And we have, for the first time, three guests on a show. And we have our very famous producer that many of you know, who has been incredible in this ministry of employment, as well as in Spirit-Filled Hearts and Empowered by the Spirit in the show. Michael Amola, welcome.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and it's great to have all three of you on the show. And this ministry is near and dear to my heart, and I have to share with you how it happened. And how many years ago, Brian, was this?
August 2008 it started.
August 2008. He probably has the right, the exact second here, too. August 2008. I can't believe it's been that long. Seriously, 7 years? It will be. Yeah, over 7 years. Yeah. 7.5 years. Yep. Okay, so what is this? Well, let me tell you how it started. It started with the Holy Spirit, right? It started with the Lord. But 2008 was a tough time. You know, there was a lot of downturn. If you remember, the market went down. Stock market, real estate went south. I mean, it was really kind of a recession, I guess, at that time. But there was an individual in our parish who came up to me and said that she was in her 50s. And she said, you know, I have not interviewed in over 30 years. And I really don't know what to do. I don't know anything about how to write a resume, how to network, how to get a job. And it came out of the blue. And, you know, we were essentially part of St. Vincent de Paul when we had talked a little bit about helping people get jobs. But it became apparent that this couldn't be an offshoot of another ministry. It had to be a ministry into itself. And I guess they call me Deacon Guido, and I guess I Deacon Guido Brian and Virginia, but I think first for sure Brian. And when I approached you that first time, what were you thinking about this ministry?
The way it started, my biggest fear up until 2007, 2008 was losing my job, and had the unfortunate opportunity to have to close down an office of the company I was working at in Newport Beach, where I had 150 people. I didn't know how to do job search, but through having 7 months of coaching of my team through a third-party outplacement service, and then another 6 months of my own, kind of learned how to do it and kind of learned I had a knack for it. So when you asked, it was kind of an exciting opportunity to get it started.
Well, tell us about your background, Brian, what you've done professionally, and a little bit about your family.
I've got a wife, Valerie, been married for 22 years, a son, Kyle, who is now just 22 years old, and I've been a finance executive for 30 years.
And you've had your share of what we call transition, correct?
Since 2008, I've been in transition twice, total of 18 months, which I guess brings some reality to this experience.
My brothers and sisters, we are here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, and our topic of the day is employment, and where our focus is really on when you are in that position where either you're thinking about getting a new job, or what we call in transition, or those that would normally say unemployed, but we say in transition. This is a great show for you to listen to. Call your friends up and text them, and those that perhaps are looking for work right now, let them know there are solutions, there is processes in place, and the good Lord to help us through this process. And this has been incredibly exciting for us. And Brian, I know that you kid me a lot about the numbers, but is it safe to say that we've helped hundreds and hundreds of people get jobs in some way, shape, or form?
We've probably had 200-300 people come through the ministry since 2008, and those who work the program are the ones who find the jobs, and we've helped a lot.
And in some cases, more than once, right?
Yes. You know? No, the beauty of the ministry is people have found it valuable, and if they have found themselves in transition again, they have returned.
And one of the amazing things Brian has done, and I could gush all day about Brian and how great he is, but one of his most strategic and best moves was asking Virginia Sullivan to be part of this team. And Virginia, tell us about yourself and your background and why this ministry has been important to you.
Okay. My background is that I grew up in a large family, a large Catholic family, and my dad was very involved in community Catholic causes, things like that. So I always had that in my heart. And my career was in human resources consulting. And that, what I did in HR consulting, kind of became more automated in 2007, 2008. And so I had an opportunity to do some volunteer work, critiquing resumes. And then that segued into being asked to help at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. I felt that I could bring my human resources background to help other people from the HR standpoint. So it's been important to me because employment is an essential part of everyone's life, you know.
And there's no question. And when we talk about Catholic social teaching, the dignity of an individual is a huge part of it. And people feel so much better when they're employed. And Brian, I know that's one of the things that we constantly focus on, certainly the spirituality, but people come in and like their tail between their legs type thing. I mean, they feel pretty down about what's going on, about themselves, their own personal value.
Right. That's one of the keys to this is when you find yourself in transition, one of the first things to do is just accept the fact that you are in transition and that it is an opportunity to do other things. There's a lot of people who find themselves in transition nowadays, so it's not something to be embarrassed about. That's why we don't use the word unemployment. You are in transition between jobs.
And one of the beautiful things about what Brian has brought to us is the concept that either you have been in transition or maybe you shortly will be in transition, because the reality, and I know you, Brian, you've mentioned this a lot, the day of somebody being with a job 30, 40 years and getting a gold watch at the end of it, we don't see that too often, do we?
No, we are all in transition. Some of us are just paid more than others.
I love it. And then you made another strategic move. Actually, Michael Amola, who, of course, we love dearly and is someone that helps us in our ministry and our show so much. But Michael, you were kind of interesting because actually when you started in this ministry, you were actually starting not so much in transition, but you thought you might be because of what was happening with your personal job, a company that you had. And you were thinking maybe you needed to look for something else. But so you and essentially started as recipient of this ministry.
Yeah, I started as a mentor. Because we had, in addition to the leadership, we had mentors that were working with the individuals. And it was fortuitous that it ended up that after 4 years of being a mentor, I found that I myself was in transition. So, you know, all of a sudden I had all of this book knowledge that I was getting to put into use.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here on Empowered by the Spirit, beautiful Christ Cathedral. We're talking about employment and what we can do as it relates to enhancing our ability to get jobs. And so again, let your friends and neighbors know, and please listen, because this is extremely important. The Lord wants us to live life and live abundantly, John 10:10. And part of that abundant living is really trying to make a difference in one another's life. I remember my neighbor, I'm going to give him a shout out here, Rick Hillis, who is an individual who was vice president of a very large pharmaceutical company, and he was vice president of human resources. And he came up with the term, the 90% or whatever percent it is, but he said 90% who are employed have an obligation to help the 10% who are not. You know, and that really stuck with me because we really, Brian, have an obligation to use the talents God has given us to be able to help other people really find work or find what it is that God is calling them to do.
The tagline for the ministry is paying it forward.
Yes.
Or the two times I found myself in transition, there were a lot of people there to help me. And it's our obligation, Virginia's and Michael's and mine, to help those folks who are in transition. And the one thing we found is that if you're in transition, working with other people, it becomes a very positive experience.
Virginia, you have a heart of gold.
Thank you. I mean,
I just see Jesus in you and everything that you do. And, you know, why were you involved in this ministry? Why have you been involved for all these years?
Well, because I've seen people in transition. It's a very difficult time. People are very vulnerable at that time. And it's an opportunity to help people through the process. You know, I currently work as a career management consultant. I've transitioned into exactly, you know, what I've done as a volunteer basis. And what I see with my clients is there's a lot of shock. There's a lot of pain. There's a loss of self-esteem. You know, all of those things that you talked about. So my job is to kind of coach them through that, to help them through the process. It's tremendously satisfying for me, and I feel like this is the work that God's got me doing.
My brothers and sisters, we're on Empowered by the Spirit here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, and Jesus is the answer. Do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. In fact, take a look at Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, and get out your Bibles, because it's very important as we really focus on what God is calling us to do, to remember that He is involved in every aspect of what we do. So Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what He has promised. And we're going to hear more about that when we come right back from our break.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for
you. Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Grecker. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about employment ministry and those that are between jobs, thinking about a new job, what we call in transition, or thinking about, hey, I need to make a change. This is the show to listen into, to listen to how God makes a big difference. And I want to share with you something really important, and that is in Hebrews, get out your Bibles, Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what He has promised. Michael, you went from being a mentor to being a recipient of the ministry, and then being one of the key leaders on a day-to-day basis with the ministry. And I know, first of all, why did you do that? Why did you feel this was so important that you wanted to play a leadership role in it along with Brian and Virginia?
Well, I think that our Catholic faith calls on us to be of service. And, you know, when I started out as a mentor, it was a rewarding experience because, as Virginia and Brian have both indicated, when people are in transition, emotionally they're down. And having the opportunity to interact with them and build up their confidence was very gratifying to me. And, you know, it also benefited me in the end, because as I found myself in transition, closing down a company and then making some choices about what I wanted to do going forward, you know, I had this tool bag of tricks that Brian and Virginia had been talking about for the last 4 years, and was able to use those. And at the same time, you know, continue to impart those techniques on the people who continue to come to our ministry,
which has been really, really fantastic. And Brian, you know, as was mentioned by Michael, in terms of that lack of confidence as it relates to being in transition, tell us more about the people you see, and what does it mean to be in transition, and how do we help them mentally as well as logistically?
When people are in transition, it is a scary place if you haven't been there before. It was, for me, the first time I found myself in transition. The second time, I was actually excited to be back in transition again, because I was going to get to see the friends I had met while I was in transition. Really, it is just a transition from one state to the next, from one job to the next. And if you're doing the homework, if you're working with the people who are trying to help you during that time, it can be a rewarding experience.
In terms of being a rewarding experience, I remember when I was in transition, I was a senior vice president of this big Fortune 25 company and had all this responsibility. And then the next thing I knew, I was out in the streets. And I went to a career counselor, and the first thing career counselor said to me is that you've just been given a great gift. I said, say what? What do you mean a great gift? And Virginia, why is being in transition a gift, and or could be a gift, certainly, and how do we help people see that?
Well, in my experience, I've seen where it does turn out to be a great gift, because it gives people an opportunity to kind of assess where they are. You know, do I want to continue doing what I'm doing? It gives you an opportunity to kind of make some decisions. And, you know, I've seen that just about everybody I've worked for, when they go through the process, the other side of that process, they're grateful that it happened. You know, God puts us where He wants us to be. So this is all part of God's process, is, you know, He's moving us around, and we're there to do His work. And so it's about Him.
My personal story was, perhaps some of you remember this if you've listened into the show for a while, is I was at Bristol-Myers Squibb, you know, again, this big company, and senior vice president, and things were going great for so long. But then all of a sudden there was change in management, and I wasn't really happy at all, but didn't know what to do because I had those golden handcuffs, you know. I had the stock options and restricted stock and yada, yada, yada. But I knew I was just miserable. And I was in a cul-de-sac back in New Jersey where I lived, and I just kept driving around in a circle. I didn't even want to go to work. And I can imagine the neighbors looking at me, like, he's doing it again, Marge, you know? And as I'm driving around that circle, I just had one, what we call fervent prayer. And that fervent prayer is I looked up at the Lord and I said, get me out of this mess. And a week later, I was fired. So you may not want to do this.
You be careful what you ask for. You just
be
might
careful
get
what you ask for. But, you know, but anyway. But, you know, the truth is that, as Virginia said, God's hand is in it. And you look at Romans 8:28, and it's so important to understand this. And that is that we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And so you just see God's hand in it. You know, people don't want to leave what they're doing, but they can get into something even better. And that certainly has happened to you, Brian, in your life.
Yeah, the first thing was, my biggest fear, I said, was losing my job. Losing my job became how this ministry started. And I found something that I had no idea I could do. I found out I have a knack for it, and Virginia and I do it pretty well. And so that was the first gift that came out of it. Had I not lost my job, we wouldn't be sitting here talking today, and this ministry wouldn't have existed for the last 8 years.
So my question to you is that, should people be prepared to look, even if they're not leaving, or maybe they don't know they're going to be leaving, and if so, what should they do?
Nowadays, yes, it's not a matter of when, it's if you will be in transition for the most part. So, for example, me, my company was just purchased this last month. While my job is secure, I believe, there is an opportunity where I may be in transition again. So I'm now pulling out my resume. I'll be dusting off my resume. I'll be connecting with people I may not have talked with in my network for a while. I'll be planning should something happen, but I'm not anxious about it. I'm not nervous about it. It's a good idea to have your resume. Virginia teaches resumes. It's a good idea to have that up to date all the time.
It's so incredibly important to be up to date and constantly be prepared should you be in transition. And it's so critical as it relates to understanding that your real security, Virginia, is in your skills. I say that all the time to people. You know, continue to develop your skills, your talents, your leadership, whatever it might be, your functional skills, your leadership skills, your strategic skills. We're here in Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral. Thank you for listening in. This is about, how do I get a job? It's about employment initiative and so forth. And, you know, one of the things that's really important is when people find out they have a job, or lost a job, rather, how do we help them at that point in time, Virginia?
Well, usually when people lose their jobs, oftentimes it's because of a reorganization like Brian was talking about, or something that's out of their control. And so oftentimes it's tremendous shock, you know. And I'm working with a client, and she'd been with the company for 17 years, and one day she's told that's it, you know. And so you have to process that. You have to allow yourself some time to process and grieve the loss, you know, get your bearings. And then you can start making some decisions, you know, about, you know, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? Do I want to stay in what I'm doing? Do I want to look at something else? And always, of course, keep God in the deal. And the support of family and friends is very important as well.
Brian, we see these people all the time come in and you know, I think you and I have agreement and maybe some disagreement, I'm not sure, but they come in and they basically say, maybe I'm going to start over and go a completely new direction. And is that a good idea, not a good idea, or maybe a little of both?
I would say it's a little of both. Virginia has a great program where she sits with people to ask them to define their ideal job without putting any constraints around finances, time, whatever. It allows for some of that creative thinking that people can do to then define what they would like to do. Then, once you've got that, to figure out how realistic is that, you may find that you can't maybe go that direction, but at least opening it up, saying, maybe I can do something different, is an important part of the process.
We're here again on Powered by the Spirit talking about employment initiative, employment ministry. Perhaps some of you are thinking about leaving the job you're in, going in a whole new area. And sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. But one of the things I feel very strongly about, and in my background, you know, I've managed many, many people, thousands of people, and actually had a recruiting company. I was responsible for it one time also. What I have found, Virginia, is the fact that it's important if you go a different direction, make sure that your skills are connected to that direction. Your comment on that?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I tell people, like, if you're an IT person, it would be very hard to transition into being a doctor, you know, because the skill set is totally different. So, yes, you know, if you decide you want to go in a different direction, you have to look at, you know, how will your skills transfer. Most people, when they've been in a career for a while, have reached a certain level. So you have to be willing to, you know, kind of get in at an entry level if necessary. So those are all the things that you have to look at. And Brian was talking about the ideal job. You know, put down everything that would be your ideal. And even if you go back to what you're doing, you may not get everything that's on your list. But I guarantee you, you'll get a lot of those things.
We're here and again, Empowered by the Spirit, with Brian Wolf, Virginia Sullivan, and Michael Amola, talking about getting jobs, employment, and if you're in transition or you're considering changing jobs, certainly letting God be at the center of it. But there's some practical things that we have to do. And one practical thing is, how do we deal with family? That's always an issue, whether it be a man or a woman. But let's take a man, for example, who's been that sole breadwinner, perhaps. And Michael, you know, you've met with people on an ongoing basis. And you know, how do you root out the fact of communication to a spouse?
Yeah, I think the important thing, one of the things that we teach in the ministry, is that you really have to focus on a budget, and you and your wife have to be on the same page, and you've got to really understand financially how you're going to move forward, because that is one of the big concerns that, you know, a family, not just the breadwinner, but the family has. And the husband and wife being able to communicate that and really recognize that this is what we're going to do going forward.
We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about very specific things that you need to do in terms of networking, resume, and the nuts and bolts of getting employment. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Powered by the Spirit, talking about employment and how to get work, how to get a job. Call your friends and neighbors up here and have them listen in. This is an extremely important segment. We're going to be talking about the nuts and bolts of it. And Michael, it kind of first starts with the mental part of, you know, building that confidence, as we talked about. And I know for you, you were in that position where you weren't sure what was going to happen with you, but you saw God's hand working.
Yeah, it's complex, because the one thing that I realized as I was in transition was that I had more confidence when I had structure behind me. So to be just out there on my own was not as comfortable as it was having a company that had 50, 75 people. But what I found out was that as I transitioned and as God moved me in a direction, and that's what happened, and I know this, that as he moved me in a direction, what I found out was that he had plans. And they weren't plans that I knew about, but he had plans. And the end result of that was that I continued in my primary business, which is real estate and property management, but also got involved with Brian in Virginia more in depth with the employment ministry, and then also found myself being asked to be on the real estate committee for Habitat for Humanity here in Orange County, and also was sought out to be on not only the real estate committee, but on the board of directors of American Family Housing, which is a nonprofit which provides transitional housing for the chronically homeless. And so it's been really rewarding.
And could I add one comment, yes, to what Michael said? It was an important word Michael brought to this, which was structure. When people are in, when people find themselves for the first time losing a job, the reason there's the anxiety is because they're not sure what to do, what the next steps are. And what we, what our ministry brings to the process is the structure. When I lost my job the first time, my anxiety was because I didn't know the process and the structure. When I lost it the second time, I knew the process, I knew the structure, I knew how to go forward with a direction. So that's the big thing I think we bring to reduce the anxiety.
We're here on Empowered by the Spirit talking about employment and what we do when we get in that transitional period. We all of a sudden lose our jobs, downsizing, whatever it might be. And Virginia, you know, the first step is try to kind of get a grasp as to, now, how do I put something together? I may have not had a resume forever. And what's your advice to people on building a resume and just kind of putting together their thoughts as to how to communicate their experiences and where they want to go?
Well, one of the first things I tell people is that a resume is about getting the interview, not the job. And some people have a tendency to put too much, but, you know, brainstorm with yourself. And the important part about a resume is potential employers are looking for, what have you done for others that you can do for us that's going to contribute to the bottom line, essentially. And so that's about accomplishments. Resumes should be accomplishment driven. You should be able not only to show what you've done, but what your accomplishments were doing that, you know. And you don't need a lot of them, but you want to speak to whatever job you're going after. Resumes should change with every job posting you're looking at, because you want to tailor it to the specific job. The days of, you know, one resume fits all is long gone, you know, in the climate that we have currently. But it is, if you can just show people what you've done that's going to be beneficial to their business, that's kind of the key with a resume.
This is, again, Deacon Steve Greco here on Empowered by the Spirit. This is incredibly important, my brothers and sisters, to understand the days of one resume are really over. Gear the resume towards that individual job you're looking for. You can tweak it. And one of the huge changes is the whole concept of keyword searches. And it's important to understand, my brothers and sisters, if you do not understand, that most leaders that are going to be hiring managers or hiring leaders do not look at resumes until they've been screened by human resources, but i.e. really screened by a third party of some kind.
Or a computer. Kind,
or literally, yeah, a computer is really what it comes down to.
System,
and
right,
the computer will spit out keywords. So,
right,
for example, if we're looking, I'm in pharmaceutical sales, we're looking for something in pain management, that the word pain has to be in there. Or we have a migraine product, the word migraine has has to be in there. And so they will not even, we will not even see a resume that doesn't have those words in it.
Right.
So again, in building a resume, Virginia, really important that we use keywords associated with our functionality of what exactly we've done.
What I tell people when you're building your resume, look at, the first thing to look at are the requirements in the job posting. And what you want to do is your summary should have some sort of a summary in the beginning and, you know, key competencies, and look at the verbiage the way that they're stating it in the requirements section. If somebody's looking for excellent communication skills, you want to have excellent communication skills, like you were talking about. You want your resume to mimic what they're looking for, both via requirements as well as job description, and take the words that they're using and how they're using it in the job posting. Nowadays, it's all about applicant tracking systems, as you were talking. Nobody sees the resume. A computer looks at it and picks out keywords, and that's how it progresses through the process.
So we're in this position now where we've built our resume up, and please have other people look at it, come up with different resumes. The reality is, what is it? Up to 90% of people get jobs through networking?
Most 80% of jobs are found through networking, by finding the hidden job market.
Tell us about the whole concept of networking. It's okay. Something you are an expert in, and tell us about it.
Well, there's a lot of ways to go out and find a job through internet searching, looking at the newspapers, looking at job boards. That's where the 20% of the jobs are posted. It's really with networking and meeting people who are working in companies where you find those jobs that may not have been posted onto the internet yet. With networking, it's kind of a scary concept to some people because you do have to get out there and let people know that you are in transition. But really, networking is nothing more than developing relationships with people through conversations about common interests, things we do every day. So if you're concerned about networking being this formal process, it's really not.
And tell us more about LinkedIn, or tell us about LinkedIn and why that's so important.
LinkedIn is a business tool where professionals can both post profiles of themselves, but it's also a place where recruiters, companies are now going more so today to find people. And just like the resumes, that's where the keywords come in very important. I often use LinkedIn to go find people for positions in my company. I will put in keywords and geographies to see who in my area may have skills I need. So it helps augment work I'm doing with recruiters and things as well. But I can do a lot of the
search. And what are some of the other techniques we can do for networking?
Well, networking is, it's one, getting out there. You've got to find organizations that may have common interests. The church is a huge networking opportunity. Networking is about just letting people know. I say any opportunity can become a networking opportunity. At church, again, after church, talking to people and people asking what you're doing. Well, I'm in transition. Oh, what are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for this type of a job in Orange County. And then it's just establishing a conversation.
You know, one of the things, Steve, on networking, and this is a true example that's happening even right now, we all know people. And our ability to work with someone who's looking for a new position and refer them out to people that we know. Previous guest we had on the show, Lucy Dunn, is a good friend of ours. And I'm working with a woman right now who is trying to network into some educational organizations. And I know Lucy. I introduced this gal to Lucy, and she got 3 informational interviews with people in the educational industry here in Orange County that she never would have met had she not networked with us.
One of the keys with networking is getting a job is not the goal of networking. By establishing relationships with people, finding out how you can help them, finding out how they can help you, those relationships really are then what drive the opportunities when people know you want to help them.
Well, having hired again many, many people, obviously as a vice president of sales and other positions I've had, it's so important to hire people that someone knows. Mm-hmm. Because reality is, people can be professional interviewers, But if you know somebody and can vouch for them, people that you trust, the odds of getting that job is that much higher. So again, who is it? Make a list of people you know. Mm-hmm. Call them up on the phone. They could be customers of yours. They could be people you've worked with in the past, whatever it might be. Could be former bosses, whatever it might be. But talk to them. Let them know that you're in transition. Ask their opinion. And also kind of be a problem solver. And that really somewhat relates to the whole interview process. But I know, Brian, one of the things I absolutely loved very early in this ministry, you talked about being in transition and showing up at various events, meeting people. And this is not so much networking as getting to know people and future networking. But you came on as, tell me about you, what's going on in your business, because I want to help problem solve and come up with maybe some ideas to help you. Mm-hmm. So you were a solution. And the more that we're a solution to people, the more value we give them.
Employers want to hire people who can help them solve their problems.
And that is so critical to understand, my brothers and sisters here on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to get into talking about interviewing here in a second. But I can tell you unequivocally, the more succinct you can be in your interview about what you've done in the past and how you can make a difference, the better off it is. And Virginia, any quick comments on that before our break?
Yeah, it's, again, going back to, it's all about, you know, what have you done that you can do for somebody else that's going to be beneficial for them? And it's about having a conversation, because an interview is about you finding out about them as much as it is them finding out about you.
It is about having a conversation, which is so critical. My brothers and sisters, we'll be right back to talk more about that interview process. And really, by doing the right structure, as Brian said, how it will enhance your ability to get employment. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Grecker. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit with Brian Wolf, Virginia Sullivan, and Michael Amola talking about employment. And we're getting to the point now, after we've done our resume, we've done our networking, we're now in the interview process. And Brian, that interview process is so critical in terms of really coming up with sound bites as to our accomplishments and what we can do and will do.
The important thing with an interview is to, one, know your resume very well, know what the company is looking for so you can target the responses to the questions you anticipate. Having 10 stories in the back of your mind that you can use to answer any number of questions that the employer may ask. What the employers are looking for are three specific things. First is can do. You know, can you do the job? And you wouldn't be there for the interview if your resume already did not indicate to the employer that you have the background and the skills where you could do the job. Then the next one is will do, and this is where in the interview coming across as yourself is so important. Coming across with some authentic energy, being honest in your responses. So they're looking at, will you do the job? Are you motivated to do the job? And then the last one is fit. Will you be able to fit with the company? Will you be able to fit with the culture, with the supervisor, with the other associates? And if you can demonstrate to the employer that you can do the job, you will do the job, and you've got the fit with the company, there's a good possibility that you may land the job. Not a guarantee, but a good possibility.
This is Deacon Steve Grecker again on Powered by the Spirit with Brian Wolf, Virginia Sullivan, Michael Amola, talking about employment when you're looking for work, that interview, which is so critical. And Virginia, the reality is that within the first minute to 2 minutes, people who are the hiring individual or the person doing the interview often has made up their mind. So how do we get off to a fast start with an interview?
Initially, when coming through the door, I mean, you want to present yourself as well-groomed and friendly and warm. People hire you because they like you, and so you want to give them an opportunity to do that. You know, some of the questions to be prepared for, everybody in an interview that I've ever known, and I do it myself, the first question is always, tell me about yourself. And people get thrown off with that initially, and that that kind of ruins the whole interview. And tell me about yourself is talking about your professional background as opposed to your personal background. So those are just the things for the first couple of minutes that can either make or break an interview.
And my brothers and sisters, it's so important to understand that, as Virginia said and Brian said earlier, this is about results orientation. This is not about holding back. I have coached so many people in the interview process who, you know, they have humility and they don't want to put their best forward, but that's not the time to be shy, right, Brian?
No, this is an opportunity to demonstrate to a potential employer the problems you can solve for them by talking about your past experiences, what you've done and how well you've done them.
Now, as Brian said, and this is really critical because as someone, again, who has hired many people, a concept of behavior predicts behavior. Focus on what we call STAR, situation, task, action, result. This was the situation that happened. This is what I did or as part of a team did, and this was the result. And people ramble, and I'll write down on my notes, ramble. You know, if you can't be clear and concise in your communication, Virginia, your odds of getting employed are not good. And why is it so important ahead of time write out STARs?
It's important because, like you said, it's necessary to be concise. You know, if you run more than 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes to an answer, you've lost them, you know. So if you can answer a question within 60 to 90 seconds, that's the ideal. And in that 60 to 90 seconds, you want to talk about your accomplishments. What have you done for others that you can do for this company?
And what I have found in interviews is using that STAR concept is if you stick with the 60 to 90 seconds, if you've piqued the interviewer's interest, the interviewer will oftentimes expand the questions. Closing a question, you could say, "Did that answer your question?" And it may have. If not, he or she will expand further.
There are certain things as you do your due diligence, and let's talk about that for a quick second. It's so important. Find out about the company. Go on their website. Look at their news releases or their releases as it relates to earnings calls, mm-hmm. in which, you know, you see kind of the direction they're trying to go, what their issues are. Why is that so important in an interview?
One of the first questions, the second question, one is tell me about yourself. The second question is, what do you know about my company? If you don't know much about the company, that's an indication of lack of interest in the company. If you know something about the company and you can talk about it, that tells the interviewer that you have done some research on the company and you're just not showing up for just another interview. You're demonstrating to the employer that their company is important to you.
And the big win, Virginia, is you've done your due diligence, you found out these are some challenging areas, and you have a background in those areas and have proven results in those areas. That's the win, because then A, you let them know that you've done your due diligence, and B, you're the problem solver in saying, I've been there, done that, I've had that behavior, I can do that for you.
Absolutely. And one of the things I always tell people is at the end of the interview, ask for the job. In other words, you know, let them know how your skills and experience can do exactly what they're looking to do and how enthusiastic you would be about getting the job, about working for that company, because you always want to kind of close it on a real positive note and explain, you know, exactly what you can do for them, the problem solving. Yeah.
So my brothers and sisters here on Empowered by the Spirit, there are very specific skills that you need to have in order to optimize your ability to get employment in this tough economy and society it is, in which literally thousands of people could put in resumes for one job. And giving an idea, we hired 125 people in our company, and we had 3,100 interviews, all of which were qualified.
Wow.
All of which were pre-screened and qualified.
Wow.
So it gives you an idea of what the environment is right now. Now, I'm going to ask right now for all of you to pray about starting an employment ministry within your parish, within your environment. And what are the things that you need to do to start a ministry, Brian?
You need first to have some people who have some background in the ministry. Mine came by default. I learned by losing my job. Virginia came from an HR background, and has been in transition herself, which makes us a good fit. But first, you need to have some people who have some background. You need to put together some programs, some materials. One of the things, one of the beauties of these ministries at the other churches, our materials have been created by using the materials of other churches. We share a lot. One of the guys who gave me some materials said, they're God's words, I just put them on paper. So we share.
Your thoughts, Virginia?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to have people who have been through the process, because people who have had the same experience, it's easy for them to talk to other people. And for the people who are going through the process, the value is that they know there's an end to it and people have been successful in the process.
It's so important. The more people you can get involved, as Michael had talked about earlier, Michael Amola, about being a mentor, the more people that have had expertise, either in HR, human resources, or hiring a number of people, the more support you can get from the pastor and so forth, the better off you are. But this is so important. And I'd ask that you, if you consider starting a ministry in your parish, you can contact me at deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org. I will get in touch with Brian, and I'm saving you from having a bunch of people contact you unless you want them to.
That works just fine, and we have shared our materials. Virginia and I have worked with a couple of other churches in the Orange County area where we've gone and presented to them. I'm presenting on March 12th at Our Lady Queen of Angels at their request. So
fantastic.
So the ministries at the various churches in the Orange County area are very, very cooperative.
So again, this radio show is in the San Diego Archdiocese, Archdiocese of Los Angeles, or San Diego Diocese, obviously Orange County, San Bernardino, and other networks that pick up this show. So contact us, because this is a passion for us, right?
Right.
To be able to help people. And think about what Jesus did. Jesus helped people in so many different ways, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And one of the best ways you can help anybody is loving them to the point where you're helping them feel good about themselves by finding employment.
Absolutely.
One of the things I'll throw out there for people who are looking to do a ministry is, Virginia and I, being that we've done this for 7-8 years now, we've refined our presentations. We have 4 key modules that we go through, which is starting the job search, resume writing, networking, interviewing. We do a program on LinkedIn, and we can share those materials with you. They're all PowerPoints. Happy to share them with people who want to start a ministry.
Thank you so much for being here, Brian and Virginia and Michael. Thank you so much for your insight, your wisdom, and doing it for so long and helping so many people. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and praise you for bringing wonderful people like Brian and Virginia and Michael to help other people. Open up the eyes, ears, and hearts of those seeking employment, that they may get the right job at the right time for their family and for themselves. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I bless you in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit. Be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm a soul on fire, till I am a soul.